It's our monthly crab conversation with Dr. Jason Kanz and retired Christian counselor Rob Gillette. We are wrapping up. Yes, some people are going, you're finally going to finish Shattered Dreams. Yes, we are. Yeah, Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy, Larry Crabb's book, and we're wrapping it up here today, chapters 20 and 21 on WWIBNWIB.com. And if you've been enjoying these conversations along the way and you feel you want to put your 2 cents worth in, feel free to jump in at any point. You can interact 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, toll-free 1-800-657-4769. Or as always, you can email markatwib.com or message me on Twitter at Mark Halvorsen, H-A-L-V-O-R-S-E-N. Good morning to Jason Kanz, Rob Gillette. Morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Since we last convened, though, back in June, not only has a lot of horrible things happened in the world, but something really good, Jason, you brought your copy
in. I did, yeah.
A Different Kind of Happiness, and people can go to docsdining.blogspot.com and see your review. And you and I both got the privilege of being invited to write an endorsement for Larry Crabb's new book.
Indeed. So Larry put out this new book, A Different Kind of Happiness, and it's phenomenal, in my opinion. I like all of Larry's books. I think in my review, I wrote something along the lines of, like many of Larry's books, this one is my favorite. And quite honestly, this presents, I think, some of his...
Like, which of your children is your favorite?
Right, exactly. Which of your children is your favorite? Same sort of thing with... I've read everything he's written, even The Adventures of Al Scabbard, which was
he wrote for his kids.
Which he wrote for his kids. I would not include that among my favorite books of his, but... So A Different Kind of Happiness has officially come out since we last met, and it's discovering the joy that comes from sacrificial love. And there's kind of a high call in this book to what does it look like to love sacrificially? What does it look like to love people well in the manner of Christ, even when they don't return that love, even when they don't respond how we might want them to. And there's just a lot to recommend this book. And I was looking, just a few brief tidbits here. True intimacy develops when true love is offered, the kind that desires but does not demand a response. I think we live in a world where we tend to want to demand our own way. And this is a call to a different sort of love. I wrote this down when you and I reviewed the copies. This is a prayer that Larry includes in here, and it says, whatever the cost, make me a little Christ. Father, may your spirit open the eyes of my heart to see your beauty so that I'm left with no greater desire while I live in this world than to reveal your son's love to others by how I relate. Huh. I mean, that captures so much of what Larry's ministry is about. He finishes up the book by talking about what he has called the 7 questions of spiritual theology. Those include things like, who is God? What's he up to? Who are we? What went wrong? What has God done about the problem? Who is the Spirit, or how is the Spirit working to implement the divine solution to our human problem? How can we cooperate, and how can we cooperate with the Spirit's work? So, new book. It's been out, a couple weeks now, and I've read it twice. So, it is, like I said, like many of Larry's books, one of my favorite.
Rob, he's like a track guy who's putting in way more miles than us. So we haven't even read it once. He's read it twice already. But I know we're all fans of Larry Crabb.
So I read your review of it.
Around the table. You've read my little endorsement.
I read the reviews. Got the book, and I've gotten that part.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And you can read Jason's review, which you just heard, but also at docsdining.blogspot.com. But I had a chance to read the e-version, enough to make the comment that I did when we had that, and looking forward to getting that. We got to get him on here. Obviously, August 31st is my last show, so we got to get him before that. But, as he did, and at the same time, one of our gift offers here during the month, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Worship and Believe in Him. We'll hear that go to an early break and then dive into Shattered Dreams. But I thought my compliment for Larry would be, I said, he's the Stephen Curtis Chapman of Christian writers today. I really believe. And Stephen Curtis Chapman just came out with his 19th record. I mean, and he continues. It's just great. I mean, it's his first solely worship project.
Yeah.
And lots of great songs. We've been going through them here on WWIB during July. But what stunned me is I sat back and thought of the arc of all that Larry's written, aside from that book for his kids, is the fact of is so much that's Rob Gillette. I mean, I'm always in your debt. I mean, for a lot of things, being my good friend and mentor in some ways along the years. But you introduced me to Larry Craven Inside Out, and I've loved him and the books ever since. And to think that a book this good, A Different Kind of Happiness, could come out from Larry after he'd written all these things, A lot of people might felt like, how could you have anything else to say, right?
Well, my introduction to him was through air conditioning. It was a hot day in August, and I was living in Springfield, Illinois, and I was out jogging, and it was just getting too hot. And I went by a Christian bookstore, and this was probably, I don't know, 89.
Okay.
And I went by a Christian bookstore. I went in, and one of the first books I encountered was The Marriage Builder.
Okay.
And I was studying to be a counselor, and I started flipping through it, and I was going, this is good.
Huh.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
Little did you know how much you'd use it over the next 25 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, we thank God for Larry Crabb. I thank him for air conditioning.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, because none of us would have probably, well, God's got his providence without me getting the air conditioning. But, you know, it's just strange how some things come into your life and then how they go into the lives of others. It's really amazing how God works.
Hmm. Absolutely. And I think even next month, whether we get Larry Crabb lined up on August or I get him as a guest before that here on the show, one of those two, hopefully. But if we don't have Larry that day to talk about A Different Kind of Happiness, then I think we'll kind of have... You go to a seafood restaurant and they may have a celebration of crab. Well, we'll have a celebration of crab. Larry, the author, highlighting certain books. I can think of 66 Love Letters or Inside Out. They're today, if we had time, we'd dive more into. But we'll take a little bit of a break. Yes, today is the wrap-up show on Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. And everywhere you look in the world, in your own personal life, in the planet in which we live, you can see dreams shattering. How is God at work?
We are standing in between hope and despair, believing in your grace and the faith to declare you are with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are good.
A Wisconsin Credit Union checking account is a lot like a good pizza. They're available in many varieties, and one is perfect for you. Some people enjoy Wisconsin's preferred checking, the extra cheese that comes with identity theft protection. Others like the stuffed crust of an adds-up account with higher dividends. And like a good pizza, every Wisconsin checking account comes with a piece of free plastic that has many uses. That little white platform in your pizza box protects your toppings, and you can also use it as, well, a dollhouse table. Wisconsin's plastic is a free WestCheck MasterCard debit card, and it does a lot more than keep your cheese from getting smooshed. It's a debit card connected to your checking account, can be used to make everyday purchases, and it's accepted at ATMs all over the country. All Wisconsin checking accounts come loaded with deep dish freebies, including mobile banking, online bill pay, mobile deposit, call 24 telephone banking, and e-statements. We'll even help you move your old accounts, direct deposits, and automatic payments. That's free delivery. Great checking account choices with a free WestCheck MasterCard debit card. All the toppings without the calories. Stop in for details. Wisconsin Credit Union, we belong to you. Membership eligibility required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thousands of Wisconsin homeowners like you trust American-made propane for the unmatched comfort of gas, heating, and appliances. It all begins with your local propane provider, who can recommend flexible payment and delivery options for your convenience. Now's the time to ask about winter preparation services, including payment programs, automatic refills, or summer fills. Keep your family safe and warm this winter. Call your propane provider today or learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is paid for by your local propane dealer and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Dust, the sorrow and pain, lies the promise of your word and the power of your name. You are with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are good. And when faith gives way to fear, I will trust your heart. I will trust your heart.
When I Stephen Curtis Chapman, Hallelujah, You Are Good. Front page, WWIB and WIB.com. And it's the Crabb Conversation for the month of July 2016, and it's our final conversation on Larry Crabb's book, Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. Who is Larry Crabb? You can learn more at his website, newwayministries.org. That's newwayministries.org. All right, guys, we've talked about this book. It's tied into the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters in the Old Testament, but a good treatment of it. But again, for, you know, we hear about Ruth, but of course, her mother-in-law, right? She had lost a lot of her dreams had been shattered, right?
Yeah, so it talks about the story of Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. Lost her husband, two of her sons, and basically developed a real sense of hopelessness in response to that deep sense of loss, to the degree where these two women who were close to her, she just said, leave me because I'm bitter. Don't get me on you. And, you know, so one of her daughters-in-law went back to her home people, and Ruth stayed with her mother. So, but yeah, it's a story of just real difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was rereading, just the previous chapters that we're not going to get into today, but just to get a little context to refresh. And once again, what Jason was talking about there was that, this woman was despondent, but if you dig into it, she was despondent for two reasons. One is her own life wasn't going well, but the Hebrews' whole purpose at this time in history was to get the Messiah into the world. And by her sons dying, she felt she might be out of the lineage of that possibility. Yeah. And she was losing hope due to that. And what this book is about is, even though it looked like there was no way on the face of this earth she was going to be in that lineage, Ruth comes into the picture and marries Boaz and brings a baby into her life that she really gets, that probably will be in the lineage of the coming Messiah.
Yeah.
And so, that's where the new hope resurrects.
Yeah. So for all that we've covered in these many weeks and months that we've been talking about the book Shattered Dreams, and thanks to those of you who've responded. In fact, we already got a listener who said, in terms of Larry's other book, the new one, Different Kind of Happiness, Tamara says, just love the prayer from his book that was read today. Any chance it can be put on our website? So I'll try to put it at my Halvel blog at wib.com. We'll get that hopefully here during the breaks and work on transitioning that. In the meantime, we're up to chapter 20. There is a new way to live, and it's possible. Again, Larry's ministry, New Way Ministries. But a lot of folks, in terms of, you can identify your own life, right? And in a growing sense, one of the things I tweeted out over the weekend was this USA Today editorial in terms of a summary of the last month from June 12th to July. Just staggering, right? I mean, internationally and here. And Rob, our friend Richard Swenson, his prophecy, hurtling toward oblivion, a logical argument for the end of the age, seems to be being lived out, right?
Yeah, things are getting, it seems to be getting refined. I always like to be a little careful with that, because the saying is, don't scare the kids out there, you know. But you also want to make people aware of where we're at, you know. And if you make them aware, we also want to make them aware that there's also a hope. You know, as Naomi lost hope, you know, gradually God brought hope back into her. And if we're still trying to stay focused on God, even though the world is maybe melting around us, there's still hope. And it's a great hope, and we can't lose that.
So Martin Luther does, right, I'm just trying to, you know, shoot straight. I mean, it's been a really rough month. But anyhow, chapter 20.
I agree. I'm just saying, you know, the whole thing is, as we get into that, we don't want to see a tidal wave of, you know, bad things. So it just, you know, mutes out any possibility of finding the hope in our Savior.
Yeah.
Right. So Martin Luther is the focus here in chapter 20, and there's a quote from Martin Luther that part of it, Larry, really draws into emphasis with italics. And so just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump to that particular. So he's talking about expectations, right? Even from the beginning of the book, Larry talked about, you know, name your closest friends and who, you know, why are they your closest friends? I mean, you can count on them. They do things for you that you appreciate, right?
Right, yeah.
We could all acknowledge that. And as much as you love the Lord, believe in God, he said, if you really look at it, I mean, and there's a lot of provisions God's made this day. He's all sorts of things he's provided. But there is a sense not irreverently, where Crabb contends in Shattered Dreams that lots of things we ask for, we don't seemingly receive.
You know, I think that that's been kind of the whole point of this book, and certainly we see this in our lives, that we have expectations about what is good or what is what should come our way, and when it doesn't, I think sometimes it leads us to question the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
And I think that the kind of the whole point of this book, and I think what Larry would try and tell us, is that God wants us to get more of himself, not to get the things that he offers. Those are great blessings. But what he wants for us to have is to gain more of him, to the whole John 17, to be in relationship with him, to love one another, to love God in the same way that the Trinity loves each other. And sometimes that comes on the, often, and I think if we read Luther here, comes on the tail end of suffering.
Right. I mean, the question is, we say that God is good. I begin almost all my prayers with that acknowledgement from Psalm 119, and yet, what do we understand that to mean, and what would God understand that to mean? Mm-hmm. We say that God is loving. What do we understand that to mean? A lot of times it's Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or the Tooth Fairy. And what is it from God's standpoint? And I feel like Crabb introduces me to the idea of God's severe love, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like these, and again, even as we get to chapters 20 and 21, it's God's, a lot of times, I got to tell you guys, I've been going back to Isaiah 55 for my life, and just to understand the planet here, is God's ways are not like our ways. His thoughts, they're so much higher, right? Mm-hmm. He has such a higher agenda for our lives.
Well, and I think, you know, it doesn't go into it in the book here, but, you know, it's alluded to throughout the theme of the book. And what that is original sin. Original sin is basically, God's not going to tell me what feels good and what feels bad. I'm going to determine that myself, what is good and what is bad. And we're all born with that. In some way, somehow, that has to be refined out of us. Just accepting Christ into our life is like, you know, getting the foyer of a mansion redecorated, you know, an aging mansion. You get a good start, but there's a long way to go. And
right.
And out of that, sometimes a wall's got to be torn down, and it's painful.
Yeah.
And but God is doing this to get us back to the thing of his ways are not our ways, but he is still good, and we will accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Munger wrote a great book years ago, My Heart Cries Home, which is the idea, yes, you've gotten saved, but Jesus wants full access, and he won't be satisfied until he does. Philippians 1:6, he's at work in our lives until the day of Christ Jesus. But here's the Martin Luther quote abbreviated. He says, this is Martin Luther, "Oh, his grace and goodness toward us is so immeasurably great that," here's the italics from Crabb, "that without great assaults and trials, it cannot be understood." Crabb says, that's not how we naturally think. It makes sense to assume that we would more easily appreciate God's immeasurable goodness if we could measure it by fewer trials and more blessings. But what does James 1:2 say, right? Count yourself, you know, blessed when you're facing the trials.
And I've never been very good at that.
Yeah. Well, who of us is, right?
Yeah.
Who of us is, right? So again, Crabb says, good friends make our lives easier, not harder, so we think. And I starred this part, so let me just read this, get some reaction. Crabb writes in Shattered Dreams, chapter 20, "With pain-killing drugs, more accessible counseling, and support groups in churches that focus on the healing power of Jesus, usually interpreted as his power to make our lives more comfortable," right, understandable, "we've grown increasingly impatient with suffering. Suffering is a bad thing that should be minimized or eliminated, we think. We're more willing than ever before to admit we're hurting, but we're more insistent, seemingly, than ever before that someone make things better. Wouldn't a good friend do just that?"
That's sure what we think is the case. You know, I read this, and I think about the culture in which we live. And there's a few things that have happened in the past 100-plus years, one of which is we've separated ourselves from death. We no longer expose one another to real death. You know, when you lose children, you know, I think Jonathan Edwards had 13 children and lost 12 of them or something along those lines. Death used to be very common. Suffering was a part of life. And we've lost some of that because we keep it antiseptic. We keep it very separate from real life. But also we look at what we see on television, and there's all of this fake suffering that happens. And so we have kind of a mixed up view of
what do you mean fixed? Like television
shows?
Well,
television
dramas,
shows, mm-hmm. shootings, you know, that sort of thing that we don't really see. I mean, it almost numbs us. Yeah.
It's vicarious.
Yeah, it's vicarious.
You witness.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, you're not personal with it or
right.
owning it.
Yeah. And so it I think, limits our ability to enter that sort of suffering. But we also live in a culture where, particularly over the last 50 or 60 years, the self-esteem movement has really taken off, which was you deserve good things. You should have all of this good stuff. People should cater to you and your needs, whether that's the government, the school system, your parents, whatever the case might be. And so we, as Larry says here, we've grown increasingly impatient with suffering. I would say we've grown increasingly impatient with minor discomfort.
And I also would argue we've grown increasingly demanding of God. One of the most immediate claims, if you ask a secular college student about their resistance to God, is, well, why is there suffering in the world?
Right.
One of the first things they come up with.
Yeah.
And so out of it, you know, there's a lengthy dialogue that has to take place for them to see that suffering is good.
Right. Yeah. And I've said,
it goes back to your original sin comment, though.
Yes.
And I've said that, maybe even in here, that if God, why evil, is maybe one of the most difficult questions Christians are faced with, but it's also one of the most difficult questions non-believers are faced with.
Yes.
And that's something that every one of us has to wrestle with. But Christianity provides an answer to why this exists, why suffering exists.
Right. I mean, I think if you try to answer the why evil out there theologically and philosophically, but I mean, eventually from Rob bringing up original sin to the cross, I mean, for me as a college freshman, you know, wrestling things away from home, wrestling with these things, going, well, here's the world, and the God who made the world, the Bible says, went to the cross. So. Right. It made sense of it. Acknowledges the world is evil and that the very people God created crucified him, right?
Yes, and it goes back to what Luther was talking about here. If we're in original sin and we're doing well, even though we've accepted Christ, we're still thinking we're the master of the universe, that we're the one in control of what's good and what's evil. And at some point in time, God has to somehow reshape our heart that we're not. The beauty of it is when if we come to tremble and accept that he's the one in control with holy humility, we start to realize how good he is, because he comes to us with grace at that point in time, and he fills us with relationship. And gradually over time, if we have enough of those experiences, we start to move away from, I will find my hope in this world. It's not going to be in the military. It's not going to be, you know, in my career or my family. It's going to be in the Father. Mm-hmm. But it takes time, and it's very painful, and that's one of the reasons Jesus said count the cost. It's not very clear when he said that, but if you look at the patterns of our life, that's the cost we have to count. Are we willing to accept those times that, you know, are blocked from getting our idea of what is good and just taken care of?
Yeah.
All right. That's Rob Gillette, retired Christian counselor, also Dr. Jason Kanz. I'm Mark Halverson. It's a Monday front page, wwibandweb.com. The monthly Crab Conversations. We are wrapping up our conversation on shattered dreams. When we come back, a little bit more from chapter 20, there's a new way to live, and it's possible how Crab takes Luther's apparently wrong-headed notion that trials are necessary to dream. That dream is thoroughly right-headed, and Crab gives us his summary. We grapple with that and more coming up on WIP.
The long-awaited rains have fallen hard upon the thirsty ground. I carved a way to where the wild and rushing river can be found. And like the rain, I have been carried here to where the river flows. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gibby the Goldfish. I'm starting a new exercise program, but to illustrate the effects of hard water on you, pretend that the balls are hard water and I'm you. we can help you bounce back. Call Gibson's Water Care for a free water analysis, and we won't dodge your call.
Gibson's Water Care.
What's your family up to this summer? Swimming lessons?
Mom, I'm hungry.
Sightseeing?
Is there anything to eat here?
Road trip?
Mom, I'm starving.
Count on it. Your summer schedule may be full, but your kids won't be. Fill them up with tasty 1-ounce snack cheeses with naturally derived omega-3s from Omega Valley Farmers of Wisconsin. Stock up. Omega Valley Farmers delicious snack cheeses are now available in multi-packs. It's real Wisconsin cheese for a real Wisconsin summer. Omega Valley Farmers. Naturally better.
Grandma and Grandpa Carson have been coming to the same lake in Wisconsin for 56 years. Their kids have been coming their whole lives. So have their kids. They come to fish, swim, enjoy nature, and then sit around the campfire to talk about how much they enjoyed it all and each other. This is what family memories are made of and why the Carsons keep coming back. Wisconsin, when you're having fun, we're having fun. See more memories at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Tourism.
As I walk to the edge, I know there is no turning back. Once my feet have left the ledge, and in the rush, I hear a voice that's telling me it's time to take the leap of faith. So here I go.
All right, we're back. It's a monthly Crab Conversation front page, Relationship Monday, WWIBandWib.com. We'll get a podcast up later today at WWIB.com. But we're wrapping up our dialogue for many months through Larry Crabb's book, Shattered Dreams. His new book, A Different Kind of Happiness, is out there. Look for that. We talked about that. Jason gave us some thoughts early on. You can find his review of A Different Kind of Happiness at his blog, docsdining.blogspot.com. But which you got into that because you like cooking.
That's right.
Yeah, so that explains that a little bit. Okay, so Martin Luther, and Crabb kind of sums up this quote that we gave you just a little bit of this way, okay? And then I want you guys to read. I'm going to read this. He says, "We will not encounter Christ as our best friend, as the source of all true goodness, as the one who provides the sweetest pleasure to our souls until we abandon ourselves to him. And full abandonment, real trust, I'm having to use as we move our family to Liberia. Mm-hmm. Rarely happens until we meet God in the midst of shattered dreams, until in our brokenness we see in him the only and overflowingly sufficient answer to our soul's deepest cry." Mm-hmm. So this is something he's going to look to clarify a bit, but any initial reactions to that, Jason?
I would just say that idea of abandoning ourselves is a large part, I would think, of what sanctification is, of growing in Christ-likeness, is abandoning ourselves to the will of the Father, putting trust in him. You know, Larry was also deeply influenced by C.S. Lewis, and this is the great divorce right here. I mean, is kind of people clinging to, you know, these people on their way to visiting heaven, clinging to their own rights, and letting those go. And you know, it's the trust that we must put in God means we have to take our hands off of something to reach out to God. And that's scary to do.
Well, and sometimes we can't take them off of it unless God just literally yanks it out of there.
Yeah, true.
And that's the idea of, you know, a dream being shattered.
Yeah.
There's been things in my life that, you know, I was sure was a good dream.
Yeah.
You know, and it was shattered, but it needed to be.
Yeah.
Because he was going to give me something else that was even better,
right?
And that was himself. And that's where we go into Augustine here.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we wrote our own story, right? I mean, it'd be good health, good wealth, good prosperity, good success. It'd just be popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It'd be, you know, it sounds like that would be great, but in reality, it would breed a nation of selfish people, and it's kind of what we've adapted to, mm-hmm. and have become.
No, there's a real good line. John Lynch was in town on Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday night, he spoke at Calvary Church. He's a co-author of the book, The Cure. We had him on front page a couple weeks ago. And I really appreciated this line. At one point, he read an excerpt from a book he wrote to start it off. And it was like one of his best days. You think of a Jeff Moore song, Best Days. And it was he and a friend went to a Dodgers game. And they ended up getting seats right behind the Dodgers dugout for the whole doubleheader. And it was just this one of those great days. But he talked about it kind of relationally with the Lord, as if God told him, you know, from eternity past, I always knew I was going to be giving that to you. Mm-hmm. And while this world is full of a lot of hurts and pains, that was just a taste of what I want you to have, which is the hope for. I want you to have desires, longings for things, you know, much higher and beyond what you can experience in this life.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of what gets talked about in this book.
And God gives us longings. I mean, the point is not to extinguish longings.
No, then we become Buddhists.
Right. The point is not to extinguish longings, but to recognize the ultimate target for our longings is...
Precisely.
Is in God. And I think if we don't see that, we're always going to be wondering, why not more? Why not more?
Sure. Well, the person of God.
We go into the portion of this chapter that has Augustine, where Larry Crabb's talking about the early struggles of Augustine as he became a Christian. And he was struggling with basically what nowadays we would call a sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we encounter people with addictive behaviors that have become Christians, they're very, very frustrated. Why can't they just stop this behavior? And Augustine discovered something in the process. The only way the behavior could be stopped was for it to be crowded out by a deeper desire.
Right.
And that was a desire for intimacy with God and oneness with God. Mm-hmm. He couldn't just stop a behavior. You know, just because he'd accepted Christ, he didn't have the power just to will himself out. He had to be in relationship with God to make the sexual addiction look strangely dim,
yeah,
to make it lesser of a pleasure.
I think that's hard. I think that's hard for people, particularly in the midst of addiction, where the positive feedback, whatever it is, the reward is so immediate, to say, but God is a higher.
Yeah.
And we can't envision that. And I think that's where, I think you're exactly right, that God, you know, as with Paul, removes the scales from our eyes. And sometimes that's a really long, often it's a very long process.
As
God continues to open, and painful, to open our eyes to him. There's a section in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is one of C.S. Lewis's books, where the dragon is to become a boy again, and he continues to try and take off his own skin. And as he scratches and scratches, and it's still there, and he's frustrated. And Aslan, who is the God figure, the Christ figure, says, I need to remove this. And he says, is it going to hurt? And he says, it's going to hurt deeply. He said, but it will be good. And so he takes him through this process of helping him to shed the skin. But I think there's that recognition of there's not a promise that growth and godliness, understanding God's love for us, will be painless, because it won't be.
No. And I mean, sometimes it can come through external blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as you were mentioning, you know, in C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce, God doesn't want us so locked in this world that if Christ returned at any moment, we'd be clinging to the things of this age.
Right.
You know, and out of it, this is what that refinement process is, that if Christ returns at any given moment, we're willing to receive him and him alone and not be hanging on to, oh, my marriage, oh, my, right, you know, these things that right now seem to be impossible to envision. Mm-hmm. We're going to get intimacy with God to give us the power to do that.
Right.
So just wrapping up this segment with Rob Gillette, their retired Christian counselor, and Dr. Jason Kanz, chapter 20 of Larry Crabb's Shattered Dreams. There's a new way to live, and it's possible. Crabb takes this and he goes to what he calls the exact center, and he says, we will encounter Christ as our best friend when shattered dreams help us become aware of, and he lists a variety of things, the strength of our desire to know him, how unworthy we are to receive even the smallest expression of kindness from him, etc. And some of these themes are borne out in other writings from Crabb. I'm thinking of 66 love letters and other themes. But he says that the evangelical church has made a serious mistake. Get you guys to comment on this. He says, for years we presented Christianity as little more than a means of escaping hell. Get your fire insurance. Knowing Jesus has been reduced to a one-time decision that guarantees the chance to live in a perfect pain-free world forever. Christianity, a lot of times we get the impression, is about going to heaven. But he says, you know, that's not the center of Jesus' kindness to us, nor is it the opportunity to lead fulfilled, meaningful lives now, which I got to say, well, that one can hit us a lot of time. We think, but I used to be part of a church that had an evangelical campaign, enjoy life now, ask me how, and we would wear buttons. And so, you know, ultimately, he says it's about this. And you took us to John 17 earlier, Jason. I love that verse, John 17, 3. It's about knowing Jesus is the most wonderful person there is, the very best friend anyone could ever have. It's about, again, this sounds like a slogan for a Christian college. It's about enjoying, about glorifying God by enjoying him more than any other source of pleasure.
Yeah. And we do that, I think, when we begin to get outside of ourselves. I think even as many of us think about heaven, it's still about me. Well, I'm going to get to heaven and it's not going to, I'm not going to suffer there. Well, yeah, that's true. Heaven's going to be wonderful, not for the gifts that are there, but because God is there, because love is there. You know, and I think we sometimes miss that part and we have different senses of what.
This is a controversial line from Crabb, and sometimes people take exception to it, but he said it. So here it is, that hell has everything but God. And you know, as you say, heaven is about God.
Yeah.
And hell is the absence of God.
Yeah.
And it's the absence of the love that comes from God. So your soul is going to burn because our souls are designed to receive nutrition from the love of God.
Yeah.
And when that is canceled and starved out through being separated from God, your soul will burn.
You talk about light and life is is God and heaven, darkness.
Yeah.
And
another controversial statement I just read this morning, actually, from Dorothy Sayers, who said, hell is the enjoyment of your own way forever.
Yes.
And that's one of those that kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. But it's exactly right. It's, you can have your own way, but when you realize having your own way without God, it's misery.
Yeah. So today's the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today's the day to turn from your way and turn to God. His ways are better ways, higher ways, nobler ways. Final segment coming up.
Of history, a light so many strain to see. The one we talk so much about, but rarely ever. Was it for this you came and died? A once a week observance when we coldly mouth your words.
The Ford Freedom Sales Event is on. It's our biggest event of the year, giving you the freedom to save. Now get 0% Ford credit financing on a huge selection of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Plus, specially tagged Ford vehicles get $1,000 smart bonus cash. That's freedom from interest and freedom to choose from Ford Focus, Fusion, and Escape. Even Ford Edge, Explorer, or the built Ford Tough F-150. No wonder Ford is America's best-selling brand. During the Ford Freedom Sales Event, get 0% Ford credit financing on a huge selection of Ford vehicles. Plus, specially tagged vehicles get $1,000 smart bonus cash. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit limited term financing. Supply of vehicles with smart bonuses limited. Not available on Focus RS, Shelby GT350, Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, F650, and F750. See dealer or go to Ford.com for qualifications and complete details. For all offers, take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 8-1-2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
Have an heirloom to ship, but you need it packaged with care? Call PackMail. They'll pack it, ship it, crate it, and freight it. PackMail in the Hamilton Square, Eau Claire.
Sunshine on my shoulder.
And on your radio. WWIB will be broadcasting live from Sunshine Festival 2016 this Thursday through Saturday. Come out and say hello. Sunshine
makes me happy.
Have an heirloom to ship, but you need it packaged with care? Call Pack Mail. They'll package, ship it, crate it, and freight it. Pack Mail in the Hamilton Square, Eau Claire.
Michael Card, a good friend of Larry Crabb's, who Larry's told the story before on our show of Michael calling him and singing him happy birthday. And so that's pretty nice.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Tough life.
Yeah. All right. And you've had a birthday since we last met, so happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. We don't admit it at these points in our lives. That's something you celebrate when you're a teenager.
As long as you're still mentioning celebrations, Larry and Rachel just had a 50th wedding anniversary.
Was it the 50th? Yeah. Wow. So. Okay. The final chapter of Shattered Dreams, and there's a workbook if you get a more updated copy, is called The Journey to Joy. And it may not feel joyful. Boy, when I think of Shattered Dreams, I'm thinking of a couple of friends who, one was terrific with vehicles. I'm going to try to be general here. Terrific with vehicles. And yet he's had an ailment beset him for several years. And you go, boy, I wouldn't have wanted that in his life. And yet, again, someone else, I'm thinking of a wonderful godly woman, had an accident and has had a very difficult physical situation for a number of years. And those are just a couple. And we can all probably sit and fill the rest of the 15 minutes with that. And yet, so when we say the journey to joy and we talk shattered dreams, I mean, sometimes the fall is really far and really hard and really painful and really sad. So I don't want to minimize that at all.
Yeah.
Never. You know, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Jesus said when we accept him, we need to count the cost because he is going to redecorate. He's not just going to leave us alone. He's not going to let us be satisfied with broken down rooms and plumbing. He's going to come in and redo things, and it's going to hurt when it happens.
Yeah. And while some blessings, Jason, are realized here, I mean, to such a large extent, we do have to, as John Lynch was saying to the crowd at Calvary on Saturday, we do have to. It's with an eye towards eternity. As I share the promise of the day from 365promises.com, weekday mornings at 6:15, I mean, this isn't our guarantees for this life. So much of this is, it's now and forever, right? It's beginning now, but forever.
Yeah. I think that we sometimes miss that part because we live so much for today and next week that we miss where true joy really lies.
And I think, over the weekend, I was blessed not only to hear John Lynch Saturday, but I mentioned to you guys during the break, Packers chaplain Troy Murphy did a good job on Sunday. And as his message was, I think, very much in lines with this, where he said, went beyond just the salvation call, though that may have been available to folks as he preached out of Luke 15, the prodigal son, but talking about, you know, for a lot of us, we want something from God.
Yeah.
And moving on to the next point, for many others, you feel like your Christian life is about doing something for God. Maybe you're a human doing. But he invited us into the call. Remember Richard Foster, when he came out with the Spiritual Formation Bible, he said it's the with God life. You know, it's relational.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the journey to joy is, getting to know God better.
Well, and we've said this 100 times here. You know, the whole Bible is about relationship. And Larry has said that. I was going through a Ken Boa book, and he says the same thing. The whole Bible is about relationship, with God and relationship with others. So it's not about what we can do for God. It's not about what God can give us. It's about being in relationship with him. And by extension, being in relationship with others, which again gets back to the Larry's new book, How Do You Love Well in Relationships That Are Often Painful.
So let's talk about chapter 20, The Journey to Joy, with that lead in. He says, let me show you a new way to joy. He says it involves asking yourself two questions. The first, how do I think about God? The second, how do I think about myself? Again, A.W. Tozer famously said the most important thing about anybody is how you think about God. Mm-hmm. So let's move ahead here. Who is God, the God we desire to know? And I think even as both of these messages I happen to hear and have made reference to over the weekend indicates that it's often, you may be saved, but we may have I mean, what is sanctification? It's continuing to get to know God as he really is, right? I mean, there's kind of God as we want him to be and God as he really is, right?
Yeah, I think that we have to recognize that it's a matter of getting to know God as he really is. But I would take that maybe a little bit further and say also an experience of being known by God.
Okay.
The awareness that we are known and loved by God. Kurt Thompson, who you had on the show in his first book, Anatomy of the Soul, talks about the importance not just of knowing, but of being known. And so it's the experience of being known. And so I think those two factors bring us into deeper relationship so that we have a deeper desire to want to be more like Jesus, to shape our lives more like him. Mm-hmm. Not so that we can improve our status in heaven, but because this is really the way life works.
Well, we realize that the things we cling to in this life are actually like boulders falling into a mountain stream and choking it off.
Mm-hmm.
And we gradually realize we need to get some of these boulders out of our way, or we can't allow the flow of the living water called the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. will not move through us in a way that allows us to experience that presence.
Yeah.
And so then we start to view things as, you know, maybe an obstacle to knowing God versus just, all right, what am I losing?
Right.
And that's when we really, I believe, start to make progress as Christians.
Yeah.
We have in secular therapy a form of therapy called cognitive behavioral. And the one part of it is the cognitive is to reshape cognitive errors where people think in certain ways about themselves in this world that steals their hope and steals their joy. And the whole goal in the cognitive part is to rewrite those cognitive errors so that they become something that's hope building. But if we're a Christian, we're rewriting it in a way that helps us to rely on, okay, it's what is God like? And then what does that mean? And as we write that out, how does God view the world? How does he view himself?
Mm-hmm.
We gradually start to experience a whole new hope that actually becomes a transcendent hope, not just a quick fix that helps us to endure this life.
Yeah.
For the sake of time, I'm not going to get into all this.
I'm sorry. I was a little windy.
That's
there.
Okay. No, Rob, it's fine. But I mean, just for the sake of time, when it talks about who is God, that God we desire to know, Crab works through some things. And then he talks about, how do you think about yourself? I'm going to try to summarize it. And if I'm off the mark, correct me, guys. But it is the idea, ultimately, that I think that the truth is, biblically, okay, if we hold ourselves, who we truly are, up next to the reflection of the Bible, the scripture, okay? The fact is that you're truly, in your natural state, far, far worse than you would probably even think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
I agree.
Okay. And I think that's...
I'll reluctantly agree.
That's really sad, right? I mean, I think Bethesda Lutheran, whose services are carried here, and the Lutheran Brethren denomination, I think they've done a really good job over the years in terms of emphasizing law and gospel. And they do work together. I want to argue, and I think Crabb's making this contention that, and think about shattered dreams, right? And it talks about this idea of God's unexpected path to joy. That Stuart Briscoe says, it's only when you recognize the sinfulness of your sin and the awesomeness of God's judgment that you really get interested in his grace and his mercy. And the fact is that if you undersell how sinful you are, both even before you get saved and even after you get saved.
And undersell how holy God is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
Right. If you lower the bar significantly, then you're just not going to appreciate the grace and hence that joy. The last chapter is a journey to joy.
Yeah.
That joy is going to be far less. But I think Crabb's saying here at the end, if we can recognize how high and holy and righteous he is and perfect and how just miserable we are, again, in our natural selves, then we have the opportunity to be more deeply grateful, and you're only going to be as joyful as you are thankful.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that I actually posted a quote from this chapter on my Facebook page this morning, and it says, if you're looking for a quick boost to your self-esteem, the Bible is not a good book to read. And a good friend of mine, who is one of the most gracious people I know, had a very strong response to that, largely because she's like, you know, it feels to me like we're not understanding how much God loves us, how he's our father and he calls us his kids, and you know how the kind of this worm theology idea that we're, you know, we're really bad. And I said, I think it's a both and. I said, I think exactly. we have to realize that we are really messy, and the entire Bible paints a picture of fallen humanity as not only really messy but utterly depraved. I mean, we are, you know, apart from God, we're in a whole lot of trouble.
And throughout Scripture, any time that somebody started to realize that utter depravity, God threw them the lifeline.
Yeah.
The lifeline was the cross and Jesus.
Yeah, and so then there's the following of the grace, and I think you're exactly right. Our ability to appreciate the beauty of God's love, that God's adopting love for me, that he says, you, dirty little child in the ditch, you are mine.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to clean yourself up. Come. Come to me.
Beautiful.
We'll take care of this, but you are my child. And he pulls you into his lap, and he calls you his kid. But I think our ability to appreciate that comes more when we understand from where we came.
Yeah. Exactly. Precisely. You know, if you don't understand what, you know, let's say you were dealing with something where you ended up profoundly dirty. You had a really bad job, and you had to go through a cleansing to, you know, maybe go home or whatever. It was very unsanitary, maybe radioactive or whatever. Until you realize the danger that was removed from you and taken away, the bottom line is you just act as though this is normal, and you don't appreciate the efforts that maybe this company went to ensure the safety of yourself, your family, and everything else. And that's what we have to realize about God. It's like we are so dirty, we can't approach him. We are filthy rags. It's not until we're clothed in Christ's dressings that we can boldly approach the throne of grace.
Right. And again, that based on our performance. That's a great word picture, both of you. Jason, I want that. What I want to just explore briefly, though, is the idea, what about the stuff within me? That sounds like such a wonderful image. I picture this dirty child. Yeah. We all need to picture that as us. And I picture this loving father beyond the greatest father that the earth has ever known taking us in. Maybe the child in the orphanage that nobody else would ever adopt, and he's the one.
The
he's
prodigal
saying,
returning
right.
home.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, as was shared yesterday at church at the fair. But what is it within us that says, no, you don't want me? Can you talk about what? Because I know I got it, and I'm thinking you may too. We just kind of want to tell the father, no, you don't want me.
I think it's...
It's trouble to believe it.
Yeah, I think because there's an awareness of that we're messy. But I also think we live in a culture that reminds us of that a lot. You know, I think all of the ugliness that's been happening in our world in the last week is often comes from a reminder of you're not valuable.
Well, the whole slogan is a debate about Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter.
Right. I mean, there's a huge debate about all of that. And God comes along, you know, and we're kind of trying to keep ourselves clean. We're trying to clean ourselves up and try and make ourselves a little bit less visible. And God comes along and says, you matter right where you're at right now. You are beautiful. And you say, but God, I'm dirty. God, I'm filthy. This infects me. And God says, come. I think that's why lepers in the Bible are such a beautiful picture, because, you know, they're to walk around and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And Christ goes to them and he touches them. And he says, you're welcome here. You matter to me. And that is such a beautiful picture of God's grace that until we can appreciate that, I don't think we see it.
Well, we get conditioned to believe that if we've, you know, been in circumstances where we've had overly harsh parents, or maybe, you know, critical authority figures in our life, we come to take that in there. But it also, at a secondary level, bumps against original sin in our hearts.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm the one who's going to declare myself good enough.
Right.
I'm not going to let God do that, even if he says so through his son.
Yeah.
I am going to stand on, it's my will, not God's. And that's a letting go at that point in time, and learning to trust to say, even though the world has conditioned me, even though my will says it's wrong, I am going to trust God to say, in Christ, I'm good enough. Yeah.
Guys, that does it. We've done it many months. We got there a couple of chapters at a time. Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. We'll give Larry Crabb the final word. He says, when arrogant people who know they deserve eternal misery tremble before a holy God of passionate wrath, they discover grace. And says the journey continues, a journey through shattered dreams to the exquisite joy of encountering Christ. So thank you so much, men. Dr. Jason Kanz, retired Christian counselor, Rob Gillette. Again, Jason's blog has a lot of good things, and it's docsdining.blogspot.com. So thank you, guys.
And if I needed counseling, I'd see Jason.
All right, there we go. All right, so we'll wait for you to set the appointment. All right, news next, top of the hour here on WWIB, Hallie, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. That was a loving dig.